Our lives are a string of insights, flashes of inspiration that can be the catalyst for new ideas. However, our pace of life these days means we tend to miss some of them completely. I'm Dave Hill, and I'm the host of the Simple Reflections podcast, a fortnightly series of interviews with people from all walks of life. Our conversations are an invitation to reflect on some of the simple insights my guests have had that have gone on to have a profound impact on their lives. So grab a cuppa and a biscuit, join us, slow down for a little while and see what shows up for you. Welcome to the next episode of the Simple Reflections podcast. Today I'm joined by Shazia Kavinji. Shazia is a well-being and leadership coach. She's been doing that for a good 4 or 5 years now. And previously to that, was working in a number of various different sectors all over the world, which is quite exciting. Shazia and I crossed paths through One Thought. We both trained with Aaron and Leela Turner at various different times. And through that, we sort of got to know each other and hang out and occasionally share ideas and bounce things off each other. And I thought it'd be lovely for her to come along and join us today. Welcome, Shazia.
Thank you so much, Dave. Really excited to be here. Lovely to see you.
No worries. Given that this is, you know, this whole idea of mine is sharing about insight, what that means to us, I just wondered if there's any particular insight that jumps out to you that has really grabbed your attention at any stage, I suppose, in your journey in looking into this world, and how that's showing up for you today.
Oh, that's a great question. I think I keep coming back to probably one of my first insights as my biggest insight, and it probably still is my biggest insight because it's the gift that keeps on giving. And that is around listening. Mm-hmm. And so when I was on One Thought, like you said, we had this whole module around listening, and I really learned what it means to truly listen to another person, as opposed to what I was probably doing a lot of my life before that, which was listen kind of to another person and kind of to myself and whatever was going on inside of my mind. And so when I really saw my mind settle because I was paying more attention to what somebody else was saying, that shifted everything for me. And I say it's the gift that keeps on giving because I'm in conversation, I'm in relationship with other human beings every single day of my life. And so every single time I'm in a conversation with someone, it's an opportunity to listen in this way, to deep, I like to call it deep listening or gentle listening, like to listen to somebody in a way where I'm really just there to understand their reality, to understand them, and the lens that naturally gets put on me and on a conversation when I'm doing that is just really just love. It's just love, and it's just compassion, and it's just gentleness, and it's really sweet. And the ways in which I've seen that over the years continue to show up for me have honestly changed my relationships with my family, my relationship with my partner, my relationship with myself, and the way that I listen to myself. It's huge. So I would say that is probably one of the 3 or 4 biggest insights I've ever had.
Yeah, that's cool. I really like that. And it's interesting because I remember doing that same exercise and getting so tied in knots, trying not to listen to myself. Or just being connected and listening and then completely losing my train of thought, and just sort of feeling lost again. But it is, you know, it's the essence of connection. And it's the essence of what it is that we're trying to do for our clients is actually just listen to them. And it sounds far too simple. But it's something that we don't often experience.
Yeah, totally. And yeah, I realize I haven't actually said what the insight was that I saw, and that was that it is impossible to listen and think at the same time. It's impossible. And I think that's what's been so valuable for me, is to see that. I cannot be listening to another person if I'm also thinking. And you're absolutely right that is how I show up with my clients. And often when I speak to coaches from other, other disciplines and other approaches, it's really fascinating. Or aspiring coaches, they often ask me, you know, how do you know what to do in a session? You know, like, don't you have to have all your notes? And like, isn't it hard to recall all of the things that you learn in training all the times? And actually, what I say to them is, it's quite the opposite. The most important thing I can do when I sit, when I kind of come into a coaching session with someone, is to show up empty, completely empty, to have nothing on my mind, to have nothing going on. That's because anything that's going on will be taking up space. It will be taking up the space that is really there for the other person. And so my commitment to every single one of my coaching sessions, to every single one of my clients, is I'm going to show up with nothing. I'm going to show up as a student, you know, as a scientist, without any assumptions, without any, you know, premises of what direction I think this should go. And it's like, actually, the emptier my mind can be, the more the better, the more I can be of service to the person in front of me, because then I'm really taking them in and I'm sharing whatever occurs to me from that space. And I know, from everything that I've seen in my own life, like, I know that what occurs to me in the emptiness is going to be far more useful than what I think I need to be saying or sharing or teaching to someone.
And how would you say your clients respond to that? Because, you know, I'm sure it's the same for you. There will be people that you are working with that don't have any understanding of the three principles, nor do they need to, that haven't really, they'll have a concept of what working with a coach is about, what that's going to be like, what they expect. So they're turning up almost, you know, if we're turning up as a blank piece of paper, they're turning up with an essay on there already, or at least a shopping list. And I wonder if there's anything, you know, that you've noticed with your clients as you see them butting up their expectation with the reality of the relationship, and how that settles into, you know, a sort of collegiate working relationship that goes forward in a really positive way.
Absolutely. I have had clients battling with me left, right, and center in some scenarios. Like, I've definitely, especially with my corporate clients, my exec clients, like, they come in with all of this, all of these ideas, all of this knowledge, all of this, I know how it works, or I've done this before, or isn't that a bit like mindfulness, or isn't that a bit like CBT, or, oh yeah, I've heard this. So they come in with all these ideas and, at, rightly, as you say, expectations about what coaching is. And what I've noticed can happen, especially in, you know, in those initial conversations, is they'll be on an intellectual pursuit. So we might be talking about something, and one of the things that I'm really quite it's quite important to me in sessions is to get really specific and practical about, like, what is really going on with you. Let's get real. Let's talk about your actual life, not just have an intellectual debate about how things work. And so people will go into their intellect, and they will go into the theory, and they will tell me about all the things that they've read and the podcast that they listen to and all the different approaches that they've taken. And actually, I love to call that out. I love to be really frank and say, you know what, this is great, and we're here to really make a transformation in your life. We're here to really shift the dial for you. You've told me that you're super stressed. You've told me that you've got managers and dotted lines here, there, and everywhere throwing things onto your workload, and you've got a team to manage, and you can't manage it all, and you're frustrated all the time with everyone around you. Like, let's talk about that. And if you're here fighting with me every session, that's the experience you're going to get. If you show up with the I know attitude, that's the experience you're going to get at this coaching, and you're going to get to the end of our 6 months together and be probably quite disappointed. And I think if I showed up the way that you show up in with my coach, I'd probably be quite disappointed with my ROI at the end of it. And there's another way, right? There is another option here. And that is for you to let it all go, to drop it all, and see and come from the assumption that there is something here for you rather than the assumption that you know it. Yeah. And that's where I really find the shift is when people are willing to show up with I don't know, and we explore the I don't know. And often they're not in the I don't know, or they're not willing to go there initially because they're afraid of it. Yeah. And that's really fascinating. And so actually we explore that there's nothing to be afraid of there. It doesn't mean that they're weak. It doesn't mean that they're, you know, they're dumb. It doesn't mean any of that. Actually, there is so much insight, so much available, so much possibility for them in the I don't know. And so I encourage them to come, you know, come with me into that space of emptiness.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And it the you know, if the answer was in all of the learning they've done to date, there wouldn't be a conversation happening.
Why would they be here?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so it's allowing them to sort of almost park the but I should know, and therefore I've got to show up with something to show my worth. That's irrelevant. We've got a blank piece of paper. Let's see what we can create. And know that whatever we create is made up and we can bin at any point because something else seems more exciting.
Totally.
Yeah. And making it a sort of playful, creative process rather than hard graft, which again is something people assume they're going to be getting from a coaching conversation. Someone holds them to account and whips their feet or whatever to get them to jump a bit higher or reach a bit further.
Totally. It's new. It's so new. People show up and they often will say to me, like, I didn't know coaching could be so fun. Mm. Like, I didn't know I'd have such a good time. I didn't know I'd laugh so much. You know, when I went to therapy, I was crying after every session because I needed a couple of hours to decompress because it was so heavy. And I'm leaving coaching and I'm like, I've got a skip in my step, you know, and that's it. That's not a coincidence. That happens because we're coming from that openness, that emptiness, that I don't know, looking in the direction of creativity and what's there to be seen that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, the really leveraging the power of curiosity and something that we are born with. You know, we are born with that creative enthusiasm for everything because we don't know about it. You know, we spend the first couple of years of our lives immersed in that way of learning and seeing stuff. And yeah, we stumble and fall over every now and again, but we get back up and have another go because there's something there that we're curious about. As grown-ups, potentially from teenagers onwards, we will come up against hardship and adversity, and go, yeah, that's not my thing, and we'll make a story about why we don't pursue it any further to avoid the discomfort of feeling that we're failing rather than seeing it as there's an opportunity there for advancement.
100%. Byron Katie said, you can have anything you want in the world if you're willing to ask 1,000 people. And that's accurate, and no one's getting to 1,000. You know, we get 2 rejections in a row, 2 no's in a row, and we get really disheartened. We get 3 no's in a row and we're ready to quit. Like, no one's even getting to 10. But actually, everything we're looking for in life, we can create anything we want. And I really am a big believer of that. And that fear of the no, that fear of the rejection, is a huge part of why we don't actually get there often. And there's nothing that we can't reach or goal that we can't accomplish or whatever it might be, but you're absolutely right, we're so afraid of what's going to happen if that we never even get there.
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool. It's a fascinating dynamic, and one of the things I ask my clients occasionally is to spot if I'm getting caught up. If they don't think I'm fully present, call me out, because I'm probably not and I might not be aware of it. Or I'm trying to battle through the, oh my goodness, there's something going on in my brain. I'm not serving this person fully. It's a team effort. Let's catch each other and see where that takes us.
I love that.
Well, it's part of being authentic, because we're just as human as everybody else. There's nothing special about us. We're just professionally curious.
100%. And I think one of my superpowers is my humanness, right? Mm-hmm. I feel that like I'm vulnerable with my clients. I'm human, and my humanness allows me to connect with my clients. That's huge. That kind of willingness to be like, hey, I know that I'm the coach here and you're the client here, but I did that yesterday. This thing that you're beating yourself up for right now. Mm-hmm. Like we're not in a different boat, you know. No. I'm not enlightened. And actually that can be so valuable for people to hear, like, oh shit, my coach does it. I suppose I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I suppose that I'm not broken.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the sort of archetypal view of a coach is probably, you know, on the sports pitch. And the coach has got track record probably in that particular field. So they're a sort of known quantity in that sense. And we know they have expertise in whatever it is that they're doing. When it comes to something that is slightly less easy to nail down, like how we operate as human beings, well, of course, we've got a knowledge of that because we've been on the planet for as long as we have been, and we've been racking up experience on that sense. But it isn't something that normally we pay attention to. We take for granted a whole load of things that we do almost automatically, and sort of dismiss them as, well, yeah, that's just part of who I am, forgetting how amazing that can be for others. And potentially even, you know, in our shoes as the coach, calling out and saying, look at that. That's really cool. Tell me more about that, please. Because people don't think about it.
Yeah. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do is point out the wisdom in my mm-hmm. clients, like show them everything that they're looking at me and being like, I need wisdom. Like, please help me. Actually being like, hey, do you know that? Do you see what you just did there? Do you see how you've got the answer there? Mm-hmm. And I love what you were saying as well about we don't recognize all of the amazing things that we're doing all the time. And I noticed this the other day. I was running a webinar on decision making, making decisions mm-hmm. that you can trust. And as we kind of did intros and we were kind of just getting to know each other. And one of the questions I asked them is tell me a decision that you've made today. And of course, everyone could name a decision that they've made today, right? Simple decisions. I decided what to wear. I had a cup of tea. I did this. I did that. I decided to join this webinar today, you know? And it was like, hey guys, you're expert decision makers. You're here because you think you can't make decisions or you can't make good decisions. But you're completely disregarding the hundreds, if not thousands, of decisions that you're making every single day perfectly, expertly. And I think that's part of what I love to do as a coach, is to point out the way that someone is working perfectly, the way that someone is being guided already by their own inner clarity, inner wisdom.
Mm. Yeah. And that inner clarity, inner wisdom is always there, even when we don't trust it or we aren't experiencing it. I was having a conversation this morning with two wonderful guys, Dara Power and Matt Roberts, and the three of us have got completely different backgrounds. Dara's sort of learning and development guy, who's been working in the corporate world quite a bit. Matt was a GB athlete. I was a soldier, and we're looking at the moment playing with the idea of creating something, we're not quite sure what yet, around transitions, because they can be enormous. You know, if people find themselves in a position where they're being made redundant potentially, and they've got this identity that they've built up through their career in a certain way, and they hold themselves in a certain light, and then that rug gets pulled from underneath them. That can seem huge. And it's the fact that there's these three different worlds in one sense. The commonality is there's human beings at the center of that. And they're all just as robust isn't the right word, but they're just as capable to navigate that with ease if it wasn't for the thinking that they're having around that trickiness in the moment. And we're being as playful as we can with that to see what shows up. We have no idea at the moment. It's fun for us to just spin it up and see what gets sticky in a fun way. And then we'll start sharing it and introducing it to people and seeing what they think. Because every time someone gets stuck, it's because of the thoughts that they're having and the fear that spins up for them. That's it.
Totally. Totally, 100%. And that's something that took me a long time to buy. Like I kind of bought it in the day-to-day, like little situations that made sense to me of like, oh yeah, it was because I was thinking about XYZ that when somebody said, oh, God, I don't know, to give an example, like, oh, I can't make it to dinner tonight. You know, they didn't make me feel frustrated. I felt frustrated because I had all these thoughts in my head about wanting to or going to dinner tonight or expecting to go to dinner tonight or what I would eat or, you know, all of that thinking was what created the frustration in me when I found out it wasn't going to happen. But it took me a long time to really grasp that at a deeper level, that actually that is how human experience works. Like there are no exceptions here. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we excuse any behavior because no one else can make us feel anything. Of course not. Of course there is accountability and responsibility involved. But there is a huge amount of empowerment when you realize that you can't be touched by those external things. Mm-hmm. And we feel it, and we are human, and we experience all the range of human emotions. And so we feel rubbish sometimes when things happen. And that's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's so much peace that can be found, and acceptance that can be found, and control even that can be found in recognizing that it didn't come from there, mm-hmm. and that it came from here. Always, it always comes from here. And that's innocent. And we can hold ourselves in deep, deep compassion with that. And it's true that it came from us.
Yeah, the lovely bit in that is recognizing that any pain and discomfort that we're feeling is being created within us, and that it's there to serve us. Bizarrely, that sounds really odd to say it, but it's true. It's just trying to help us that letting us know we're holding on to something that's not real, and that we're sort of almost grieving something that's no longer there. Well, like anything in that sense, at the point that we make peace with that is the point that it then stops being painful and it becomes an opportunity to step into something new, whatever that is.
Yeah. And it can become your best friend. Mm. Like, this is something that I've seen over time, right? This isn't something I got immediately, but that awful discomfort can actually become your friend, because it's like, it's an alarm bell, right? It's a little alarm bell waking you up to what's really going on. It's kind of like, would I choose to have no sensation in my hands so that if I put my hand on a fire, I would have no idea, right? In the dark, let's say, or whatever. For whatever reason, I can't see my hand on the fire. If I put my hand on the fire and I can't feel it, like, is that what I would choose? No, of course not. I'm grateful that I have nerve endings in my fingertips so that I can feel the fire and know to move away. Like, that's what we have inside of us. We have that built in, that like that discomfort, that fear, that whatever that feeling is, the anxiousness, the tightness, the tension, that is all a beautiful love letter waking us up to what we are innocently doing in our own minds, innocently doing to ourselves.
Yeah. I think, you know, some of the resistance that I hear occasionally around that is, again, you know, we'll use the word innocent again, innocently generated by society in terms of the way we talk about things and the way we try and protect those that we love from pain and upset, or that we rush to try and help resolve that and fix it, rather than just explaining that it's just part of being a human being. And the more we lean into that and trust that, and that it's on our side, it's nothing, there isn't a flaw. It's just part of who we are, and how caught up we are in whatever it is that's going on that is the reason why it's so loud for us at the moment.
Yeah, totally. You know, because I think this point is really nice, because I definitely went through a phase where I was learning about all of this stuff, and I kind of recognized that, okay, so it's all coming from me. It's all inside out. You know, I'm creating my experience any moment with my thinking. And I get really hard on myself. I'd be like, oh my God, I feel awful and I'm doing it. So I'd start blaming myself for all of this bad thinking that I've got going on. And actually there's, you know, I obviously didn't quite, there was more for me to see, and there is still more for me to see in that direction. Absolutely. But this idea of like it being okay, like we can be compassionate with ourselves when it doesn't, when we know the principles are at play and it's still not working, you know, that kind of like, they're not something that we do. They're not something that we need to do anything with. They're something that it's just how we operate. It's our operating system.
Yeah.
And that's been huge for me, especially in the last year, really leaning into self-compassion around all of it and being like, yeah, I'm gonna see it sometimes, and it's gonna be amazing. And it is amazing. Like my life is totally transformed for the better as a result of seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to see it sometimes, and that's okay too. You know, like I don't think I know anyone, including, you know, Sid Banks, including, I don't know, the Dalai Lama, who don't get into thought sometimes. You know, they don't. Of course, it happens. That's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think we can be our own worst enemies at times in terms of comparing ourselves to each other, how we think other people will cope with what's going on, and yeah, hold ourselves to account against something that, again, we're creating, which is why it's why it feels so uncomfortable is we're holding ourselves to account against something that doesn't exist that we're creating as well. But we're pinning it on someone else in terms of this is what they think about me, or this is what they might think about me, which we can never know. You know, even if we ask someone, we're not necessarily going to get the straight answer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's been really cool, that sort of hearing around, you know, that first big insight that caught you. I wonder what it is that's been showing up more recently that's got your imagination running.
I'd say family.
Mm-hmm.
The F word is a big one for me recently. It's funny because I kind of seen a lot of shifts in my relationship with my parents specifically over the course of the time since I've been looking in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
More ease, less judgment, you know, more acceptance. And actually, There's something even more, like there's a new depth that I have experienced in that. I think where I got to was this feeling of like, okay, I'm coming from understanding, and I kind of want to listen, right, in this new way, as I'm kind of just meeting them for the first time and seeing who they really are, and where is, you know, this annoying behavior that I don't like, where is that coming from, and really being able to see from their perspective. But something happened the other week that I can share with you that really showed me that something deeper had shifted for me. So I was in Cape Town, South Africa, for my brother's wedding, And it was extremely hot. We were going to some dinner one night before the wedding. And we were getting dressed. So me and my girlfriend and my parents were all kind of staying in the same Airbnb, and we were all getting dressed, and it was really roasting outside. And what I had decided to wear that day was a pair of jeans and basically like a boob tube with a jacket on top. And it was just so hot that I wasn't wearing the jacket, right? We were waiting outside the Airbnb, waiting to be picked up. And my dad, as probably most Indian dads would, looked at me and said something along the lines of like, oh, that's a bit revealing, or something along those lines. And my first reaction, which is the same reaction that I've probably always had, or at least in my adult life, was something like, oh, when are you going to stop saying stuff like that, Dad? You know, like, when, like, how old do I need to be for you to stop commenting and telling me that I'm not what I can and can't wear or whatever? And I said it, and then I stopped myself, or after it came out, I had this moment where I was like, hey, actually, Dad, I take it back. You can say whatever you want, whenever you want. You never need to stop saying stuff like that to me. And the second half of the sentence, which I don't think I said out loud, was something along the lines of like, I know that I get to make my choices about what I wear. Like, I know that I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be authentic to who I am, and that it's not necessarily going to change my mind what he says or what he does. So like, there was that element of being knowing who I am and being authentic to me. But what was amazing for me was like, oh, I don't need you to change. I don't need to sit down with you and have a heart to heart and listen and understand each other. Why is this something that's so important to you? And I share with you, why is it something that's so important to me about being able to express myself, whatever. We don't need to do any of that, because I could see that, like, I kind of feel like I know where he's coming from. Although if I did have that conversation, I'd probably learn something new. Mm-hmm. But what was valuable for me in that moment was like, oh, wait a minute. I don't need him to change. I don't need him to do anything. I don't need him to stop saying X, Y, Z. I fully love him. I fully accept him for exactly who he is. I don't need to judge that comment that he made. And I don't need to judge myself for wearing the clothes that I'm wearing, because that is something that I also would have done previously. It can just all be okay immediately. Like, it doesn't have to matter at all. You can live in that reality where you'd rather I was wearing something different. Fine, absolutely fine. I get it. You're from a different generation. And I can live in this reality where I'm really comfortable in what I'm wearing. And I have to say, the appendix version is, I did actually put my jacket on. I was like, all right, for his comfort, let me put the jacket on right now. And I obviously wore it all evening, was the plan. But I didn't need anything from him. I didn't need anything from him. I didn't need to change him. I didn't need to change myself. There was just a real sweet, gentle feeling in me in that moment of like, I just love you and I get it. And it's okay that you say these things and you feel these things. And I'm okay too, mm-hmm. you know, without needing anything else.
Mm. That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Is that there will be a lot of people that will chime with on many different levels, either as parents or as children. Yeah.
It's fun, you know. It's actually so fun to be like these little moments that, and often for me, I don't try and see the learning in something. It's like it will just happen, and then I'll be like, whoa, what was that just came out of my mouth? Or like, where did that come from? Or normally I'd be really upset about ... and I'm totally fine. What's that about? So it always kind of catches me off guard in a great way.
Yeah. And you know, most things that we learn do. Because if we're in the grind of, I've really got to make this, you know, I've got to try and work this out, it normally doesn't come from that hard work we're putting into it. It might come by accident doing it, and we go, right, it's because I just threw myself at this. But actually, most of the time, we trip over it. You know, I suppose it's one of the reasons why people say it's a sort of aha moment. It's like, oh, wow, I hadn't seen that before. We are stumbling over opportunities to learn all the time. And the more alive we are to that, the more alive we are in life, the more connected we'll be to seeing those things, and the more we'll learn, the deeper it all goes, and the cycle continues.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That what I will often say to my clients is, get curious, notice, right? Just see this stuff happening in your life, mm-hmm. because it will automatically start to shift just because you're aware of it. Awareness of a thing automatically improves the thing in whatever direction. So like, yeah, I love that. It's all about noticing it, because it's something that we are, like you say, stepping over every day, all the time. And we can't do anything about it if we don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Shazia, thank you so much. This has been really, really cool. Is there anything you would like to share with us before we wrap up?
Well, I can share what I'm up to in the world right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So I, my kind of bread and butter practice is my one-to-one private clients and my corporate clients. But I also love running my Clarity of Mind group. So I've got my second cohort starting in June. It's nearly full. We're going to kick off in a couple of weeks, and I'm really excited for it, because it's all about looking in the direction towards kind of your natural resilience, your natural calmness, your, you know, peace of mind, freedom of mind, in a space that is totally committed to kind of non-judgment and support. And a huge part of this group and the piece that I love so much is the connections that are built between the individuals. So I'm really excited about that, that that's kicking off next month. And next week I am kicking off my Money Mastermind program, which is all about finding ways to release the bind of under-earning and like helping to move in the direction of creating income and feeling financial freedom and financial abundance in whatever circumstance the person is in, mm-hmm. and seeing that there is so much more freedom and potential for people than they think, whether they're entrepreneurs or whether they're in their 9-to-5s. So I'm really excited to get stuck in with that next week.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you very much indeed for joining me today. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I've loved it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us today. If you've enjoyed the conversation, feel free to subscribe and join me and my new guest next time. If you're interested in the work I'm doing, or you think I can be of service to you or your organisation, please email dave@simplicityofmind.co.uk. Remember, see if you can find time to slow down and reflect. Those simple ideas might be worth listening to. Take care, and I hope you can join me in a couple of weeks.